And I want you to look at verse number 33 with me this morning. Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 33. The Bible says, and I want you to just kind of follow along with me as we read. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. You want to know one of the reasons I do not have a new version of the Bible? That word, Calvary, the name Calvary, is not in the modern versions. You can have them. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning for a few minutes. I ask you, Lord, just to open up our hearts to receive with meekness. God, I would much rather have someone and some of these other men to stand this morning, but I pray that you'd help us for a few minutes today. Grant us, O God, in your grace and in your long-suffering and in your mercy, Lord, a touch from you that you might speak to hearts this morning, for I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I know you didn't come to hear me, you came to hear these other men, but I'm going to go the direction I believe the Lord wants us this morning. And don't worry, there will be, the other preachers will preach. We've got good food this week, and we're looking forward to all that's going to take place. But here's the thing I want to do. I want to look here just for a minute at Luke 23 and verse number 33. And I know this is not John 3:16, which gives us the gospel in a nutshell. But I want to say to you that in Luke 23:33, we have the whole plan of salvation encapsulated in one verse. And I am all for studying prophecy. We've been going through Daniel in Sunday school. And I am very weak in the area of prophecy. I've got hundreds of books back here. And I've read through a good number of them, reading some and studying some. I'm very weak on prophecy, and there's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot that I enjoy studying, the Old Testament history and archaeology, the languages, Hebrew and Greek. I enjoy that. I know that's weird, but I enjoy all that. I enjoy the deep academic study of the Word of God because we're to love God not only with our heart and soul, but with all of our mind and strength. And I have no problem wanting to apply my mind to the things of God. But I want to remind us this morning that when we can get so deep in theology, we can get so deep in the things that are outside of the pages of the Bible to dig around, where we forget about the simplicity of the things of God. The whole purpose of what we're here today, number one, is to glorify God. The old Westminster Catechism, I'm not a Presbyterian, but brother, they hit the nail right on the head. What is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's the reason God Almighty, listen, put you on this earth, is to glorify Him. We are not here to build a name for ourselves. We are not here to build an empire. I'm not here to build a church. Jesus said, I will build my church. The only thing God called me or any other preacher to do is to fill a pulpit and to declare what thus saith the Lord. But I want to remind us that if we get away from the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of Christ, and forget about it to the point of everything else, friend, we've missed the mark. Look, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. You think I'm crazy? Forgive me, I enjoy debate. I enjoy the theological ping pong. I enjoy that. There are a handful of people I would not want to debate against. Handful of people. But for the most part, it wouldn't bother me to go toe-to-toe, open up a Bible, sit across the table with a cup of coffee, and let's talk about a particular issue. But brother, if I win an argument with somebody and yet they never have passed from death unto life, what have I done? Brother Harvey, what have I done? The whole purpose of our church being here is to glorify God. And God is glorified whenever His Son is lifted up, the gospel is preached, and sinners come to faith in Christ. The Bible tells us here, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. I'm not Sammy Allen, I can't preach his message. But I think of this verse, him quoting this verse every time I read it. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, another on the left. In the center we have Christ, the Savior of the world. On more than likely the right hand we have a man who at one time cast the same in Christ's teeth. And yet toward the end of the time on Calvary he sees something different about Jesus Christ. He sees something different about this man, and he repents and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But we have a man on the left-hand side who says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. I don't remember where I heard this, but a preacher years ago called that the satanic if. If you go back over to the beginning of the Gospels, you will see where Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. If thou be the Son of God, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world if thou wilt but fall down and worship me. And if you read verse number 39, one of the malefactors says, if thou be Christ. He is speaking the same words that the devil spoke to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. And if you will, this is the devil at the end of the ministry of Christ trying to get him to doubt through the mouth of another man there at Calvary. I want to remind us that if we look in verse number 33, we see the Savior of the world, we see the man on the right who repents, we see the man on the left who does not receive. Every person in this building is on either the right-hand side of Christ or on the left-hand side of Christ. I want to ask you this morning, where are you at? I want to ask you. Well, preacher, I prayed a prayer. I've seen them come down to the altar. I've seen them shed tears. I have seen them cry a whole lot, walk out the door, and nothing ever changes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm not perfect. You talk to my wife, you talk to my children, this old boy, he is not perfect. But I can take you to a time when I bowed my head in the back of that little country Baptist church and called on God. And that day, there was a hunger created in me for the Word of God. There was a desire to be with God's people. There was a desire to hear a man of God get up and to declare what thus saith the Lord. There was a desire and a joy to hear about Calvary, about the Son of God bleeding and dying for me. There was a new man created on that day back in 1991. Oh yes, friend, I may not be perfect and I may not, but I'm going to tell you something. One day I heard those words, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And 1,000,000 years from now, I will be in the presence of Almighty God because I came to Jesus and he did what he said he would do. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, have you come to Christ? Have you come to him? I'm not trying to cause you to doubt. I'm just asking you, have you come to him? Have you come to him? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get forgiveness at the end of what I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to ask forgiveness, okay? Right now, ahead of time. I think about Miss Sierra. Nearly 2 years ago, God opened her eyes to the point that she had never truly been saved. And in the preaching under the gospel tent 2 years ago down in Fairland, she come to the altar and got born again. Amen. 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 Brother Ryan, I believe your home's a whole lot different now. I believe it is. Miss Abby, I'll just go ahead and tell you, there were times Miss Abby would look at me and she just didn't like me. I know I'm ugly and I'm short and all that stuff, but she'd look at me and didn't like me. But when she got saved at that tent, people would say, how's everybody doing? And people would say this, how's Ryan and Abby doing? And I would say, they are in there, they are working, they are there at the church. I said, every time I preach, Miss Abby is keyed in on what I'm saying. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost of God will do. He will help. He will want you to put a desire in your heart to hear a short, ugly preacher preach about Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, have you passed from death unto life? You can pray a prayer. Pharaoh said, I have sinned. Didn't do him any good. Judas repented himself. And he went out and he hanged himself. And I know that this is not normal preaching hardly anymore. Brother Harvey, I don't walk on the bench tops anymore. When I nearly took out the light fixture 5 years ago, I said, no more walking on the bench tops. My ankles were getting bad and I just don't walk on them no more. I got old. Yes, sir. Right there it is. I got old. That's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you how old I am, Brother Jerry. I'm going to tell them myself. So I'm flipping breakers left and right up here, trying my best to get that pump turn off. I don't remember. I flipped all 4011 breakers in that thing because none of them are marked real good. I mean, and it's hard for me to see, and I'm using these bifocals. Yep. And so we turn on all the breakers, and half the lights in the sanctuary don't work. And I'm flipping breakers, trying to think, what in the world? And I'm looking all over the place. So I called Brother Jerry and said, Brother Jerry, I think we got a double pole 20 or something. I said, there's a single pole 20 that operates one of these lights, but I said, I can't see the other one. I just don't know. So Brother Jerry come out, got several breakers, was going to work into them, got the, you know, is it a piggyback? So he's working in there, and he and I are in there together, and there's one breaker, Brother Buse, up toward the top. If I would have taken my glasses and done that, let them adjust, my eyes adjust in 3 seconds, I would have seen it was a single pole 20, not a double pole 20. And we reach up and went click, and these lights come on. I'm getting old. I can't see nothing. So Brother Jerry told him myself, you didn't have to say a word to anybody. You have to say a word. And don't tell me anything. I was raised Catholic. I spill my guts to everybody, you know. So. Amen. Tell it to the priest. Yeah, I might be getting old. I don't walk on the bench tops anymore. I'm going to tell you something. The same gospel that I used to walk on the bench tops and declare is the same gospel that I'm here in the middle of the aisle telling you that the only way you can avoid hell is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Yes. Repent. Yes. God said over there in, was it Jeremiah? Turn. He says to turn. God wants to turn us from our sin and turn us toward Him. I just want to ask you this. Can you enjoy the singing? You girls, when you get up there and sing, is there joy? I can see joy in the heart. Is there joy when you sing? Is there joy when you testify? Miss Sierra has not stopped smiling for 2 years. There's a joy in her heart. There's a joy in her heart. Now, sometimes I don't have a lot of joy. Brother Steve, I'm on the interstate. There ain't a whole lot of joy on the interstate. And I know you deal with that too because you've confessed your faults before me and I'm doing the same thing. I have a hard time with some of that. Amen. There's a lot of folks gone through a Cracker Jack box and got their CDL out of it, apparently. Amen. And sometimes it is just amazing to think that, hey, I can't do that. And there are times whenever, thinking, my goodness, I got to try to calm down. And I usually calm down when I get back home. Not on the interstate. So I'd say this. I'm not perfect. But there's somebody on the inside, David, telling me that that's not the right attitude. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you? If I were to ask you if you were saved, could you tell me that you're saved? Could you tell me? Now here's the thing, in our independent Baptist tradition, here's what we say. Give me the time and date when you got saved. Some of you can. Brother Harvey, I've heard it. the office over there back in 1979. You went in with Buffy, and you were getting ready to go to the golf course on that day. And God saved you that day. Yeah. Amen. 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 Brother John, you was reading about 19 years old. Was that right? Reading the Bible sometime when you've already said it. You were in the jail, and God reached down in there and saved you. Amen. Amen. And a lot of times we'll say, "When were you saved? Give me the time and the place." But I want to challenge our Baptist tradition for a minute. Can I do that? Can I do that? The greatest book in the New Testament about the assurance of salvation is the 5-chapter epistle of 1 John. And the key word in John is that little word "no." It shows up, I believe, 32 times in one form or another. Nowhere in 1 John does he tell those people, "Tell me your salvation experience. Go back to the beginning. Tell me when you got saved." He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Why does he not do that? He says, "Let's examine your life now." You see, there are a lot of people. We were at Ridgeview for years. We had one man come in. He come in. He got up here on this side. He squalled, crocodile tears, said he got right with God. People coming by, patting him on the back. The only reason he came in was because his in-laws came to that church. Apparently, he was not very kind to his wife. His wife had left him, and all he wanted was his wife back. Amen. They come down, they pray, and they squall, and that's all it is. There's no attitude toward God in their heart to say, "God, I don't know everything, but God..." Let me tell you, when I sat back there, Brother Bobby, not too far from where you're at, I bowed my head in the back of that church, and I said, "God, I don't understand everything, but the folks in this church have got something I don't have, and God, I know I'm not saved. God, save me." I had no idea about repentance. I had no idea about propitiation, but I was turning my back on Mary and the saints and Catholicism, and I was coming to Christ alone to save my soul from hell. Amen. I'm telling you, I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. My only hope is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I am trusting the finished work of the Son of God to save my soul from eternal condemnation, so I will not stand at the judgment of God and hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." There has been a new creature come into being on the inside, and though he falters and though he fails, there is that breath cry, crying out at times to God, "God, help me, Abba, Father." So let's look just for a second. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, Brother Eric, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Hey man, that's right. Number one, let me ask this question. Are you a sinner? Are you willing to tell God, are you willing to be honest about your sin? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, Christians will be honest with their sin. Now, we're not talking about sin one to another here. We're talking about offending a holy God. We have sinned, listen to me, against God. You've not sinned against me. You've not sinned against somebody else, one of these preachers. You have sinned against God. And here's what John is saying. Are you honest with God about your sin. If you talk to folks today, I'm not a sinner. I've done this. I go to church. I keep the Ten Commandments. And I just chuckle on the inside because there is none righteous, no, not one. And the commandments deal not only with the deeds of the hands, but with the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why Jesus said that if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery already with her in your heart. Are you honest regarding sin? That's what I want to know. Let me ask you this question. If I gave you an option of committing all the sin that you wanted to, or being able to fellowship with God and enjoy Him, which would you choose? The answer to that question tells me, gives me an indication whether or not you know God. Oh, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. This body wants to sin. Preacher, I don't want to sin. My body don't want to sin. Well, tell you what, talk to me after service. Talk to me. I got a problem with sin. Brother Harvey, you've been saved for 40 years and you got a problem with all my lands. How about that? I got a problem with sin. Do you have a problem with sin? Amen. Amen. Brother Hardy, I know we've talked about it before. Musicians get jealous. They get jealous of each other. I wonder if musicians might have a problem with sin from time to time. Now, ain't nobody gets jealous of my fiddle playing, I promise you that. But somebody might get jealous of Brother Artie's guitar playing. Amen. Musicians can get jealous. Singers can get jealous. Preachers can get jealous. Oh, I've gone to the camp meeting before. I've had a message and nobody called me up. And been, well, Lord, I had something to say. And Lord, what I was going to say is a whole lot better than what he said. Now, I know you wouldn't say that, but I told the Lord that. Somebody had a problem with pride. Somebody had a problem with pride. Are we honest regarding sin? Do you want to sin? Do you want to keep sin? Do you want to continue to sin? God help us to be delivered from that. God help us. God help the Word of God to be preached hard and to be preached in a hot manner to where we realize that sin offends God and it's not good for us. God's not keeping us from fun. He is keeping us from ruin. That's what God wants to do. Amen. We could go a little further. 1 John 2 says, hereby know we that we are in Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, listen to me, is a liar and the truth is not in him. If you live a life of continual disobedience, listen to me, we can have every Bible right to question your salvation. Someone says, well, preacher, I sin. Does that mean I'm unsaved? No, because we've already talked about 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins, my little children, chapter 2 verse 1, these things are in you that you sin. Now it's God's will that we don't sin. And if any man sin, thank God for verse number 2 in there. Amen. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I don't want to sin. I'm not preaching a sinless perfection. There is no sinless perfection. John Wesley, one of the founders of the Methodists, believed in sinless perfection. Well, he's perfect now. Yes, he is now. But friend, you cannot be perfect in this life, but there ought to be a desire to. There ought to be a desire to be obedient to what God says. My little children, these things around you that you sin not. There's a desire that God puts into the hearts of His children to be obedient to Him. There are times I am disobedient. There are times my children have been disobedient. There are times when I've had to apply the rod of correction, the board of education, to the seat of learning. Yes, yes, yes. But that does not mean that the children cease to be mine. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. Brother. Do you have a desire to be obedient to God? Brother John, I know there was a time when you talked about it when y'all gave your testimony. There was a time when you and your wife were not living for the Lord. But when God began to show you from the Word of God that where you were at weren't right, did you just blow it off and say, "Ah, fooey on you, old man in the sky"? Or did you do something about it? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you know why? That's the attitude of a child of God. This old boy ain't perfect. This old boy ain't perfect at all. I thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the blood that purchases the forgiveness. I thank God for the obedience that God places in here, the desire to be obedient, because I can't be obedient myself. Let me just give you one more. There's more of them we could talk about. There's more. 1 John 3:14, this kind of sums it up. You find some in chapter 2, verse like 10, 11, and 12, down through there, like 10, 11, 12, even 13 and 14. 1 John 3:14 says this, "Hereby we know we have passed from death unto life." I want to hear that. "Because we love the brethren." I've heard Christians say, "I don't like that preacher. I don't like that brother or that sister." I want to ask you a question. Is that an indication and a fruit of the salvation that Jesus Christ purchased and gave to His children? There are some preachers I get along with better than others. Of course, there are. There are some people, I mean, there are just some people I get along better with. Brother, I'm telling you, if God called me and said, "You have a choice, you can be a missionary in New York City, downtown Manhattan, or you can go to the jungles of Brazil," my family and I are buying our tickets to go to South America. I want nothing to do with the concrete jungle. Nothing. Nothing. Now, I know they got them cotton-picking spiders as big as a plate, but I'll sneak a gun in there, praise God, and I'll be killing every one of them birds. Amen. Amen. Don't care a thing about them things. I just don't fit in up there with those folks. I fit in with the common, country, blue-collar, if you will, folks. Because that's who I am. I put my britches on the same way you fellas do. And I know the doctor does too, but sometimes they get a little bit above us. I said, I like to say this, those are my kind of folks, country folks, my kind of folks, common people. That's who I am. I ain't a city fella. I'm not a city fella. I lived in an apartment. We lived in an apartment for the first couple of years of our marriage. I was miserable living in town because I was raised in the woods. I opened up my door and all I saw were hemlock trees, pine trees. All I saw was woods. I didn't even see my neighbor's houses. And all my neighbors on the front side was family. On the south side of the house was family. I could take off, go in the woods, and I could walk for hours and see zero people. Amen. I was social distancing before it was ever popular. Amen. That's my kind of folks. But I want to tell you, when God did that work in my heart 30 years ago, the last 2 weeks of February, the first 2 weeks of March 1991, when God did that work in my heart, He put a love in my heart to be with God's people. This is my crowd. This is my crowd. I love God's people. Are you coming to church because your parents make you? Are you coming to church because it's the right thing to do as far as what you've been taught and you want to make sure that everybody knows you're doing the right thing to do? Do you want to be here? Would you rather be somewhere else? Blaze, would you rather be in church? Would you rather be playing a video game? Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Eric, would you rather be in church or working, you, David, working on a car or welding something? Which would you rather be? Where would you rather be at? Preacher, would you rather be in church or would you rather be out in the woods walking and hiking and shooting and killing something? Which would it be? Brother John, would you rather be down at the pond, down at the lake, bringing in them big old crappie
and them walleye, I don't know if you got any walleye down yonder, but I mean bringing in them fish, or would you rather be in the house of God? You tell me, that's right, amen. You tell me where I would rather, you tell me where you'd rather be right now. I've got a good indication of whether or not you've passed from death unto life based on what the Word of God says. And there's more. There's more in there. But I just want to leave it with you today. The whole reason we want Brother Harvey and Brother Goolsby, and I know Brother Vance is here, and that's his first name. What's your last name, brother? Willette. Brother Willette. Yeah, Brother Willette. Thank you, brother. And Brother Quick over here. The reason we want to encourage these preachers who have been in the way for a long time to continue to contend is because there are people out there who do not know whether or not they've passed from death unto life. Now listen, we're not making it hard. We're not making it hard. I had a dear sister ask me this question. And she said this. She said, if I look, she said, can you have all the evidences of salvation in 1 John and still be unsaved? My response was this. That's what God says. Can you have all that evidence and be unsaved? What did God say the evidence was? What did God say? God gave the evidence in 1 John. God gave it to us. He gave it to us. Amen. I mean, there's a whole lot more in there we could get. There's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. There was a whole lot more of that. I've got more of them. Yeah, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, is of the world. Amen. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right, honesty regarding sin. We've already talked about that. Obedience to God's word. Love of the brethren. No love for the ungodliness in the world. 1 John 3 says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure, even though we fall as their desire for holiness. Amen. Purify thyself. Do we help the brethren? I love you, I love you, I love you, but nobody ever offers a helping hand. Now, I know Will Rogers said, you know, he's one of my other favorite theologians, if you're looking for a helping hand, look at the end of your arm. Okay? Amen. Somebody send Will Rogers to Congress and tell the Democrats that. Stop giving my money away to people who won't work. Amen. That's right. Amen. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ. That's 1 John 3:23. You hear God and you hear God's men. When somebody says, I will not hear what the preacher says, that's dangerous ground. He that is of God heareth us. Jesus said that the reason you're not hearing me is you're not of God. That's what he said. You have the Holy Spirit. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. You overcome the world. You believe the record that God has given of His Son. You have the Son of God. Amen. Right there it is. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that you have eternal life according to what the Bible says. You can know that. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Do you believe the record that God has given of His Son? I believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. I believe that He was born of the Virgin Mary. Sinless. Not she, He. I believe He lived a perfect life. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in His mouth. Amen. I believe He was rejected of the scribes and the elders. I believe that they spat upon Him and hit Him in the head with the reed. I believe they platted His head with a crown of thorns. I believe they nailed Him to a Roman cross. Brother Harvey, I believe that whenever he looked after the sun had gone down and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe that he became sin for me. I believe God poured the wrath of God on the Son of God for my sin. I believe he took all of my iniquity, all of my sin, all of my unrighteousness, all of my wickedness, everything that I did, would do, had done, thought about doing, all the thought of foolishness which is said, all of my breaking the law, all of my breaking of the commandments, everything that was displeasing to God, he poured that on the head of his Son and he punished Jesus Christ as if he were punishing me. Christ took my hell for me. God turned his back on his Son so that when I come to God, God would never say, depart from me, I never knew you. He'd already departed and forsook his Son on Calvary. Yes, amen. I believe that he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. I believe they took him and they placed him in that tomb. And when the women went to the tomb on that morning, who's going to roll the stone away from us? It's already rolled away. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. I believe he came bodily out of that tomb. I believe he walked among his disciples and showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and for 40 days showed himself alive. And when he told them that in Acts chapter number 1 that the Father has not given you, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father's put in his own hands, that he went up into heaven, he ascended up into heaven. And right there he is, he ascended up into heaven, and right now he is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he's at right now. And whenever I pray, when you pray, and we come pleading the blood of the Son of God, the wounds in the hands and feet of the Son of God, they strongly plead for me. And God looks at the wounds of his Son. He sees the travail of his soul. He's satisfied. He hears my prayers because of the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I know the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection, but I'm going to go ahead and throw this in. I believe that one of these days he's coming back. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, Blaze, look at me. I will come again. That's what he said. That's it. I will come again. How do you know Jesus is coming back? He said he was. Christ said he was coming back. I will come again. Are you saved this morning? What do you believe? I'm not asking you to believe it up here. I'm asking you to believe it with your heart. Amen. We don't know when things are going to happen. Things are getting bad. You do know that there are warships in the Baltic. You do know that Russia and China are doing joint military exercises. You know that, don't you? Amen. A lot of saber rattling going on. Yeah. What's your hope, preacher? Well, my hope is not in our president. Amen. Yeah, even the one who was elected. Amen. Hello, Facebook. My hope's not in the president. My hope's not in Congress. It's not in the Senate. No, sir. My hope is in Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. When the Patnods come, they're going to sing. They're going to sing. And when they sing, they're going to sing, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I'm telling you, I'm just a simple preacher. I'm simple. Yeah, I enjoy the Greek, I enjoy the Hebrew, I enjoy trying to read it, figure it out, study it, and look at all the minutiae. I enjoy the archaeology, I enjoy all of that. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. Sitting me down with a bunch of God's people, white shirts and overalls, I'm fine with that, friend. And let them tell me about the day that the glorious gospel of Christ shined into their hearts, and they passed from death unto life. Amen. Amen. You got saved under Ed Ballou preaching, didn't you, brother? That's what I thought, Brother Steve. Amen. 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 You got called to preach under Brother Ed Ballou. Yeah. So, telling you what, just a blessing. Just a blessing. Are you saved this morning? Now, I know I've gone long. I was going to quit at noon. Amen. The reason I didn't get Brother Harvey up because I knew he'd be here till 1 and not eat.
Amen.
Amen. Nah, I'm picking it. I know, brother. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. No, the reason I got up is because I felt like the Lord wanted me to read out of Luke 23 and just talk to us about Calvary. Talk to us about Calvary. I'm looking forward to this week. But if something happens to me and I die before the meeting's out, it could happen. You don't know. I got high blood pressure. You know, I've got all kinds of things that would cause me to just, you know, get upset and maybe have a heart attack and die. If I die, Brother Harvey, you just go ahead and moderate the meeting, close it out, preach my funeral when I'm gone. Amen. Just do it. But don't worry about me, for my body's cold. John 6:37 will find its final fulfillment. As I'm taken directly into heaven, for to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Amen. 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 Sister Judy, would you care just to come and just play a verse? We're going to give you an opportunity. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, you need to trust Christ. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Trust Him this morning. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. But if you call on God and ask Him to save you, He'll save you where you stand. He'll save you where you sit. You'll call on Him. Amen. Well, I've delivered to you my heart this morning, and I sure hope the Lord helps you some way out of the Word of God today. And just remember that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Not about a time and a place. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the schedule will be back here.